Hey, it's Eric G. Around the House is sponsored by Baldwin Hardware. For 75 years, Baldwin Hardware has been known for its first-class quality and craftsmanship in door and cabinetry hardware. As an alumnus of the Baldwin Hardware Design Council, I can say I have seen the details and quality from design to the finished product. If you're looking for a new style and old-world craftsmanship, I can tell you there is only one Baldwin Hardware. Check out what would look great in your home at baldwinhardware.com. Support for Around the House with Eric G is brought to you by Manscaped, who's the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. They obsess over their technology developments to provide you the best tools for your grooming experience. Manscaped is trusted by over 2 million men worldwide. We have an exclusive offer today for my listeners. 20% off plus free shipping with the code DIY at manscaped.com. Now, Manscaped hooked me up with a bunch of tools and formulations from their Perfect Package 3.0 kit. Manscaped has created the best hair trimmer ever, the Lawnmower 3.0. Their third-generation trimmer features a cutting-edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin-safe technology. In addition, this trimmer comes with an LED light for more precise shave and is waterproof to make your shower shave clean and easy. Now, of course, you don't use the same trimmer you use on your face. That's just nasty. The Lawnmower 3.0 comes inside their brand new Perfect Package 3.0, which comes with everything you need to keep trimmed, cut-free, and smelling nice down there. The Manscaped Perfect Package 3.0 also includes the Crop Preserver, an anti-chafing ball deodorant and moisturizer. You already put deodorant on your armpits. Why not putting deodorant on the smelliest part of your body? And yeah, that stinks. Speaking of sweaty and stinky, I'm thankful for their Crop Reviver. This product, along with the Crop Preserver, keeps you from sweating, smelling, and sticking. Hey, it's that time of year, right? Manscaped threw in two free gifts into their perfect package. A pair of high-performance Manscaped boxer briefs that'll keep you feeling fresh all day. And a travel shed bag to store all of your grooming goodies. You gotta have a shed for the tools, right? So, keep yourself clean and trimmed up. Now, get 20% off free shipping with code DIY at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. And use code DIY. Unlock your confidence and always use the right tools for the job with Manscaped. Now, finally, let's get to the show.
Everybody stop what you're doing, please!
When it comes to remodeling and renovating your home, there is no better show on your radio. This is Around the House with Eric G.
Where's the hammer?
From your back fence to the sidewalk, Eric will tell you how to keep it all in tip-top shape while helping you save a buck while doing it. If you like DIY projects, it takes a lot of practice to get good at it, and Eric is here to guide the way.
Is it on the... Go up on the other floor. Somebody go up there and stop the hammering.
All that and more on the fastest 2 hours of home improvement radio.
These are the wrong plans. These are the old plans. Oh.
Welcome to...
Stop it! Stop
Around the House with Eric G.
Welcome to Around the House with Eric G, your home improvement source every week. Thanks for joining us. I'm Eric G.
I'm Dane Vodder.
Man, we got a jam-packed show again today.
Yes, sir.
I want to talk a little bit about creating a dog-friendly space around your home. It's something we haven't really done a lot of, diving into the pets.
Absolutely.
And that, to me, is always fun. And then we're going to talk a little bit about managing rainwater on your outdoor project. You might have inspired that a little bit with a post on Around the House Nation. And then hour two, we're going to talk about something that's maybe a little controversial. We're going to have fun with it. I'm bringing another former retired radio buddy, and I say retired from radio because he changed careers, but everybody, all my friends are talking about, not all my friends, a fair amount of my friends have been moving to Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got people like Joe Rogan,
yeah,
Elon Musk, and I'm like, what's with this moving to Texas thing? So I'm bringing a guy on that used to work in radio who's now getting into Texas real estate. We're going to talk to Kirby in hour number two and find out kind of what's the jam on this moving to Texas kind of thing.
Yeah,
I'm mildly curious.
It seems like a trend that we want to know where it came from, why it's happening, and maybe we'll be moving to Texas.
Now, you think I'm going to pull Julie out of that shower that I just built up there? There is not a chance we're moving anywhere. Let's be honest. Nothing against Texas, and I probably wouldn't mind living in Texas. However,
I ain't pulling her out of that shower or that kitchen we just built.
Hey, now, you built it. You can build it again.
I'm okay. That's true. I'm okay building it once right now. That's been a project, and I'm kind of happy to hang my hat on it and say, that's done here pretty soon.
There you go.
So we've got a big show ahead, man. It's been a crazy week this week. I love the weather.
Oh, 80 degrees this weekend?
Yeah. Man, this is what I'm talking about. Still working on getting that heating and cooling system in, so nice thing that we're in the 40s at night, because I'm not ready for the full-on heat just yet with this house.
Well, no, but you're doing it right, and this is a note to anyone listening. If you need to get your air conditioning set up, you know, maintained or put in or anything like that, you better be on that now, because if you're waiting until it gets warm in June, you're not going to have someone out there for months or weeks or possibly even months.
Oh, man, it is a holdup. It's interesting, you know, when you're talking lead times, and I want to talk about this before we get into the day's subject, but I tell you what. There are stuff out there. If you're waiting for kitchen cabinets for a kitchen cabinet project, we talked about design trends last week. You know, average wait time that I'm seeing out there is 10 to 12 weeks for somebody to build you cabinets. And that's for the factory, the big ones, like walk into Home Depot or Lowe's and order cabinets. 10, 12 weeks, easy for what I would call kind of entry to mid-level cabinets. And then custom stuff is just going to get worse. So be prepared for that if you're starting that project. You better be ordering it. If you want to do a summer project, parts better be on order now.
Yeah, you need to be over halfway through the planning process and getting your materials at this point.
I tell you what, if you want something that you're going to enjoy in July and August, you better have that ordered.
At this point, if you don't have it yet, you should be looking forward to whatever winter projects you're going to be tackling.
It's crazy out there. Well, hey, I wanted to talk about a hot subject, you know, because so many people have brought in pets into the world now because of the COVID, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Shelters are fairly empty. People have been adopting pets. It's all a good thing, but I wanted to talk about the things you can do around your house to make your and your pet's life easier, and some of the myths out there, too, that I want people to be careful of, because there's plenty of those.
Well, and especially as people start going back to working in the building or in the office and whatnot, and making sure your home's ready for this new pet you may have to be alone on their own for 8 hours.
Absolutely. So that's one of the things I want to talk about today. So let's dive into that. You know, one of the biggest ones that I think can be very cruel to a pet is not creating a space for them to go use the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
And you've seen what I've done here. We had a nice, cool little weird side yard that, quite frankly, in this house, there was no good way to ever use it.
No way to utilize it and to turn it into anything.
No, this is not going to be a place to hang out. It's pie-shaped. I don't need it to get around the side of the house over there because there's my neighbor's driveway that's for the flag lot that's right there. There just wasn't a good use of the space, so I created it into our doggy bathroom space. So we live in Portland, Oregon, here in the metro area, and we have 6 months of rain.
Mm-hmm.
And at least, and I'm trying to be generous. With that, I knew that I was going to have 6 months of mud. So I got to go through and finish this project because it's been low on the list, but I need to kind of finish up the landscaping around this. But I've got your basic Astro sports turf out there. Easy to clean up, doesn't get muddy, the dogs don't track anything inside, and the more importantly is I've got a dog door that lets them out and they can come back in 24/7.
Well, and it's easy to clean, too.
It is. So really, creating that space and training the dogs so they can go out to the bathroom anytime. I can leave the house, be gone for 8 hours.
I'm giving you a look because I've watched your dogs at your house and they've gotten out, but we fixed that problem.
Yeah, well, that's the key. That's the key to doing that. Maurice, who is our 14-year-old little escape artist, or as I call him, El Chapo.
There you go.
That guy can tunnel out anywhere. I had to do some renovations to it as the phase two to make sure he couldn't get out. Now, I ended up getting the Fi dog collar, so if he does get out, I get a warning on my phone saying, hey, we got an escapee.
And you can see exactly where he is.
I can chase him down in the neighborhood wherever he is and even turn on a strobe light on his collar. So if he's hiding someplace
or something like
that, at night that you can see him, or if he's running down the road, I can turn that on so cars will see him. There's a lot of little safety things with that. That thing's awesome, and I recommend that to anybody who's got a pet escaping out there. But really, I ended up creating a space where they can't dig out without really digging out. Mm-hmm. And my soil here is so compact hard with rocks in it, I have a hard time digging fence posts, let alone having a dog have to dig 3 feet into the middle of a dog pen area to dig down and dig out. It's just not realistic.
He's not going to escape.
It's not going to happen. There's just too much effort that has to go into that.
And he's a smaller dog, so it's not like he's a big dog that can dig that kind of hard clay out.
No, it's not going to happen. It's just, and he's 14. He's just not going to put that effort into it. So I ended up building kind of a wire mesh area between the bottom of the cedar fence and down there so you can't get through it. Now, you got to be careful with dog doors for multiple reasons. One, it's a place that people could get in the house. Two, it's a place that if you have rodents and animals could get in the house. But really, with a 6-foot fence and no way to get in there, squirrels, skunks, those things are really not going to get in the house at that point. And with the dogs and the scents and everything else, it's just not really an issue here. Now, if you've got that, you know, 120-degree, I live in Palm Desert, or, you know, I live in Fargo, North Dakota, maybe it's not going to be the most effective for your heating and cooling.
Absolutely.
To have that. But really, it's for our climate here, it works out really well, and I'm happy with it. That's one of those things that I think we can really keep the dogs happy with.
Do you have any suggestions for people who live in those extreme weathers to kind of be able to put in any sort of dog door? Is there anything that I know there's magnetic ones.
That's what we have, is a magnetic one. I'd be honest, I would build a secondary outside air gap, basically. So I would have two dog doors. I would have it where you go out through the dog door. I would make it so there's a little landing space, and then a second one. So you've got a little bit of tempered air between those two places. You could build this little, almost like building the doghouse with another doghouse on the door on the other side of that, and you'd be fine. But that's how I would do that to really keep the dogs from having to deal with that much temperature. Is it a little more building? Yeah, but would it keep the winds and some of that other stuff out? Yeah. It's not a bad thing, but it really does keep the house at a more reasonable temperature with those extremes.
The other thing that I was thinking about that would worry, at least for us in our climate or anyone who has a lot of rain, is you're dealing with wet dogs.
Yeah.
And if you're gone for 8 hours when you're at work or something like that, that's not necessarily something you want to come home to.
No, but the thing is, I could have built a covered area out there for them to go to do that as well, but we've got enough tree cover there, and quite frankly, our dogs are spoiled enough. They're not going to go out and just stand in the rain.
Okay. Well, true. I've seen, even when it's sunny outside, they'll sit and hide in the shade.
Yeah. So I'm not worried about that. So it's one of those things that, they'll go out and do their thing and get back in, and it's not that big a deal. Now, I don't have them going into the full backyard because that's a play area, and quite frankly, I don't want to have to go in our half acre that we have here and do some serious
scooping
because I'm not going to go through the landscape and go look for that. That's way too much work. And, that we're trying to keep it manageable, but not keep it where, you know, they can go out and play and do their thing. But really, they're really good at using their area. And that's not a bad thing. Now, when we come back, you know, I really want to talk about some of the flooring things you can talk about, because flooring inside your house is a really big, important part of carpet, luxury vinyl tile. What are you dealing with? That's going to be the important part. We'll talk about that just as soon as Around the House returns. Why in a world of ugly fun? Welcome back to Around the House with Eric T. This is your home improvement source every week. I used to say every weekend, but now it's every week because we've got the midweek special. And we've got our Pro Insiders. So I'm Eric G.
I'm Dane Vodder.
And hey, if you want to get a hold of us, there's multiple ways to do that. You can hit us up on Facebook, Instagram. I'm even going to start doing our clubhouse that we're going to start doing. I'm going to start recording that clubhouse that you're going to see so that every Thursday morning at 9 Pacific, so do the math wherever you're at across there, 9 Pacific a.m. on Thursdays, I'm going to be doing a clubhouse meeting with our friends from the Homeowner Show, and that's probably going to end up as some kind of a podcast once it gets going, because we're going to be doing live Q&A with questions and stuff over there as well. And so I'll be recording that here and be able to put that into the show. Not our weekend show, but we'll probably end up putting something up there on the show during the week. But make sure you do that. And the website, aroundthehouseonline.com.
Well, and if you're looking to find where everything that we post up, everything we produce, go to aroundthehouseonline.com, click on the ATH podcast. That won't only get you the weekend show, but that will take you to the midweek special, the Pro Insider, and anything else we decide to upload throughout the week. We also want to answer your questions, any home improvement questions. You might hear them this week and be like, they're not going to talk about that next week. We might not, but we will answer your question next week. Give us a call. Our number here in studio, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 971-233-8992.
You got it. And make sure you head over to Around the House Nation, our closed group, because I tell you what, we have got some great projects that people have been sharing up this last week. And feel free to share yours up there, as well as if you want to start a group discussion on something you're debating. Maybe it's that two people in the household debating, do I pre-wash the dishes, or have some fun with it. Post something up over there and create a great conversation, because you're always helping somebody.
Yeah, it's just a discussion. Nice place for all of us to just kind of talk about your projects.
You got it. Well, we've been talking about creating a kind of a dog-friendly space around your home, because pets are such a huge thing, and dogs can be one of those that can stump some people. And there's plenty of new dog owners this last year out there, or new again dog owner. So I wanted to chit-chat about that a little bit in today's show. One of the things I wanted to talk about that really sometimes can eliminate more pets out of homes is flooring and damage to flooring.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you think about it with pets, you know, that dog making the mistake on the carpet or chewing up carpet, I'll say that sometimes carpet is not the best choice for pets. Now there are great carpets out there that you can get, like the Stainmaster carpets out there that you literally can't stain.
That they're coated.
They're coated. It's actually made out of a recycled, I think it's corn and pop bottles, basically. So what that is that's really just there so you don't have to worry about anything staining. And with stuff staining, it's really interesting that you can create a carpet that's white. I could go in there and pour red wine all over it, and with water, it'll come back up. So that's really great. But the problem is dogs will still chew stuff up.
Mm-hmm.
They will still tear up, Berber carpets. They will still tear up carpets. So I always recommend that carpets maybe are not your dog's best friend. But either are some hardwood floors. I don't recommend pre-finished hardwood floors that you put in that are already pre-finished for pets. There are some outlandish statements out there by some hardwood manufacturers.
Oh, scratch-proof and all that?
Well, not even scratch-proof, dog-proof. Like, there are no dog-proof, pet-proof floors products out there. They're just not, because you're cutting them, you've got raw ends. You will have damage to hardwood floors out there. I don't care what their warranty paperwork says. Dog urine will chew floors up, period. Now, that's hardwoods. Now, if you get into some of the other floors that have snapped together, like luxury vinyl tile, luxury vinyl plank, these are composites. There's nothing for them to soak into. They've got to click together, so they're fairly waterproof. Those are pretty friendly for pets. Even my hardwood floors, which are sand and finish on my house, I've got a high-end finish on them. Do they show scratches? Absolutely. If the dogs make a mistake and I leave it sitting there, will it discolor?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's going to. And you have to expect that. Now, I wanted my floor to look distressed, kind of a pub floor that you would have peanuts off the floor on, because I knew that pets were gonna scratch it. You know, Raven, our big puppy, is going to scratch the floor with claws at some point. And well, I'm okay with that.
And that's another thing that, it comes with having a pet. If you're going to have hardwood floors, it's going to be noisy. Their claws are going to, it's going to be noisy.
And it's going to be even noisier if you go with a laminate flooring. Mm-hmm. That's going to make any room sound like a gymnasium, large one. So every little noise will echo around your house. So that's why I'm not a fan of laminates, where the vinyl plank works really well. And of course, you want to clean up after your pets, but really, that's what you really need to think of with that. Now, the other thing I want to talk about as well is creating that quiet space for your pets, too. You need to have a bed, a crate, create that place for them to relax. And I'm not a big fan of them destroying the really nice brand new couch. So creating that space, maybe that's not on the couch. Talk to your dog trainer. Find out what you want with that as far as how you want to live. Some people have no problem with their dogs up on the furniture. Some people don't. Figure out what that's going to be and be very consistent with it. And to be honest, this is another one of them on here, is work with that dog trainer to make sure that you've got them being mentally healthy. Yeah. I mean, you want that dog to be comfortable in their own home, and you want to make sure that they're not doing stuff that stresses you out or them out. I got a secret about dog hair, how to keep track of that and not get it around everywhere. We'll do that just as soon as we're around the house.
Hey, this is
Farewell Angelina,
and you're listening to Around the House with Eric G.
Pour gold in this glass, cause that color red never looks so good. So
around the house, there to your home improvement source every single week. Thanks for joining us. We've been having a great conversation here about kind of creating that dog friendly space. And my last one I wanted to talk about before we get into some outdoor water and projects is really controlling pet hair, because that can be one of those things that can be really tough.
It can be the biggest headache for a pet owner.
You know, if you've got carpet, you've got to really have a great vacuum to take care of that. My answer, to be honest, is a nice robotic vacuum that I can run once a day. I can set it up automatically. It'll run. Now, here's the secret with robotic vacuums that I want everybody to know if you have pets. Get a smart one. And I mean, not just one that bounces off things and keeps going. And I want to say this as everybody's out there having, you know, brunch, eating. What you don't want is to have a robotic vacuum that isn't smart enough to realize that your dog just had an accident on the floor of number two and decides to run around everywhere else.
And spread it.
So that is the key, to have something smart enough, which I do. It's an LG. I love it. And it will go around and dodge those areas if it thinks that there's a mistake there, which I'm great with. I have seen some of the disasters of the Roombas out there, and I'm not talking about all of them, but we've all seen, I think, those pictures, if you're a pet owner, of the Roomba deciding to restain the carpets or floors with whatever was left there.
And do lots of damage, and you get to come home to that.
Clean up aisle one. So make sure that you've got that taken care of. And I'll be honest, I love that robotic vacuum. It does a great job. It's got a HEPA filter. It takes up that pet hair, and I will go, oh, it doesn't need it. I'll run it through its cycle and go,
yeah, it needed it.
And so doing that and keeping that clean is really good, and that really makes makes life a little bit easier to maintain. And that, in a good filtration system in your home, if you've got a really good air filter, that makes a difference, because it's going to pull the dog hair and dander and stuff out of the air, and also make sure that you've got that dialed in as far as making sure that you're changing that filter frequently. And that way you've got clean air inside the house. Then you got a happy pet. Pretty simple.
Happy life.
Well, I wanted to talk kind of part two of this before we run out of time.
Switch gears.
I'm going to switch gears, turn the page a little bit here. Now that we're in the spring, I wanted to talk about managing rainwater in your outdoor projects. This can be a big one no matter where you're at in the country. People are starting to get into landscaping. They're thinking about, wow, I'm going to do some outdoor projects. I'm going to get outside. I've been stuck inside for the winter, and dive into this. But really, one of the first things I want you to think about is how to maintain drainage around your house, because this water can be one of the biggest and most expensive problems to fix if it doesn't go right.
Absolutely.
Now, you kind of, Dane, inspired this a little bit with a little tease this last week with me. You had taken that meme that's been floating around that I'd seen before. Most people hadn't. And it is a downspout going into a raised garden bed.
Yep. They're like, why haven't I thought of this?
Why haven't I thought of this? And I'm like, well, because if you are in a house, you have a storm come in. Now, you might not be in a wet area like us, but it's not unheard of in places to get an inch of rain. The problem is each one of those downspouts can kick off about 100 to 250 gallons of water for each inch of rain. If you want to overwater something, that's how you do it.
Yeah. Well, plus, the only other thing I thought of was the amount of weight in that raised bed.
That can be a problem, too, because you put a raised bed up against that foundation. I have been to a house here in our metro area 2 or 3 years ago when I was doing some work with a foundation contractor here, and they had put in a water collection tank right next to their house because they wanted to collect their rainwater. The problem was, is this was not a 50-gallon barrel. This was like a 500-gallon tank. Their old foundation in this older 1940s house was not built for that. And they had busted the foundation in three spots, and it was going to collapse in the basement, and the water tank was going to go with it and drop 500 gallons of water when it went. And that was going to be its own landslide and fill the basement up. And so be really careful with rainwater collection and all that stuff. It's not legal in all areas.
I was going to say, make sure it's legal in your area.
It's not legal in all areas because some areas say that is our water coming off your roof, and we're not going to get into the politics of that. But be careful of that. In certain states, they don't like that. But really, make sure that you're controlling that rainwater and you know that it's going to go. If it's not going into your barrel, make sure you have control of it. I want to see that water on those downspouts. You've heard me preach this 1,000 times if you're a regular listener, but I want to see that get a dozen feet away from the house. So when you're designing, tearing up that yard, you're going to put the new sod in, do new landscaping, and those gutters drop down and kick out next to your house. I don't care where you live. Get that water into a tube, like 3-inch ABS, run it down, get it out away from the house and downhill the house. Because I don't care if you have a basement or a crawl space or slab on grade, that water is going to hurt your concrete in the long run. And that's one of those things that I really want you to take some time and get that away.
Well, and we preach it because it's easily manageable. Easily, there's an easy fix to it. It's
so simple, you know, shoveling $100 with a pipe can get this thing fixed for you. Maybe a little gravel. It's not that big a deal.
It's going to save you tens of thousands of dollars in the long run.
Oh, man, I have seen people, and this is where, great example of unintended consequences. Probably 30 years ago, the city of Portland said, hey, we've been dropping all of our stormwater coming off people's roofs into the sewer system. And the city of Portland is widely known for dropping hundreds of thousands of gallons of sewer into the river here during storms because it happens every year.
It overflows.
It overflows. So they said, hey, we're going to give people a tax credit on their taxes to disconnect that. The problem was in the unintended consequences department is they didn't make people run that into a storm system to keep that away from the house. They just went, oh, you're disconnected. They came by, they poured some concrete down the little drain. They tagged it off. Good to go.
No.
And now there's millions upon millions of dollars of foundation damage in our city because of that. And so just make sure that you've got that water going away. Always get that sloped. But here's one of the things that I recommend in your spring rains. And I don't care if you're in Arizona, Florida, Texas, or in the northern states where you get a little bit more of those spring rains. What I want you to do is during a storm, put on that rain jacket, grab that umbrella, whatever you do to keep yourself dry, and go walk around your property and understand how water moves.
Look at the drainage. Look where it goes.
See if your gutters overflowing? Are they? Is that a problem? Are they loose?
You got some leaks.
Where's that water going? Do you have a pool up next to your house on the side of the house where you never see that tends to drain away, but it picks up? These are all things before you landscape. I want you to make sure that you're controlling that water. And if you have to regrade, now's the time to do it. If you've got to dig down and get a good slope, I like to see a good slope running 6 feet away from the house. Code usually is about 3 feet, maybe 2 feet in some areas. Of course, if you've got tight lot lines where your neighbor's right up against you, you're not going to be able to do anything with
that.
Don't
have many options.
You don't have too many options, but get that water away from the house. Now, one of the things that I want you to do with this is make sure that you understand where that water is going, because I've also seen, and I want to talk about how you design a stormwater system here in the next segment, but what I want you to do is understand where that water is going and what you can do and what you can't do. Now, for instance, in the last house I owned, my gutter system went down into hard pipe, ABS, went out and dropped into the street through a hole in my curb.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they controlled water there. Awesome.
Yep.
Worked well.
See that in a lot of new building.
Developments.
Yeah, there we go. New developments.
They've planned for that. Now, if I do that in some cities, I'm going to get a nasty gram from the city building department or the street services department saying, did you get a permit to drop that into the street?
Yeah. And you deface the curb or whatnot.
Yeah.
That wasn't technically your property. Yeah.
You know, how have I gotten around that? Well, there's ways to do that, and we'll talk about it when we come back, because there's ways to do it without breaking the law. There's ways to do it with good intentions. But the other thing you need to be careful, too, is, you know, you think about it. If you've got water running out across your yard, coming down, and you've got a big storm, and maybe it's wintertime, and you're in an area that freezes, the last thing you want to do is have a bunch of water running across a sidewalk.
Mm-hmm.
Or things like that, creating another place for ice to go.
A dangerous situation.
And that opens a liability for you as well. So we want to talk about that. But how do you manage that water? As well as putting in, people love to put in ponds and things like that. That can create its own problem with pests and mosquitoes and molds and all those different things that I want you to really be careful about. When we come back, I want to talk about that, just that last little bit of controlling water, and more importantly, how do you design that stormwater system to do it? It's pretty simple, and it's something that we can talk about on the radio here, so you can do it on your house and get that water away. We'll do that just as soon as Around the House returns. Welcome back to Around the House with Eric G., your home improvement source every weekend. Thanks for joining us. Hey, make sure you catch the podcast if you're listening on the radio, because this is one of those things that you might have missed part of the show as you're out traveling around. Make sure you catch that podcast, because you can catch this all. And like our interview that you're going to see here in the next hour, we've got Kirby Wilbur, known as the godfather of Seattle Talk Radio. We've got him coming on here talking about, well, that myth that I've been hearing about. I wanted to get more information about that. People moving out of the Pacific Northwest where I live, where you live, Dane, and moving to Texas. So there's a lot of people, like maybe people have heard of like Elon Musk and Joe Rogan and some of these other guys. Wanted to figure out why they're doing it. So why not talk to somebody that just did it, right?
And that works in real estate down there.
And radio.
There we go.
Perfect combination. So we're going to have him on the show here in the next hour, and it'll be an interesting conversation. And the nice thing with that, we don't talk politics here, so we're going to just kind of run right down the middle with that. This is just something that we want to figure out. What's the differences? Because inquiring minds want to know.
Absolutely. And hey, if you missed earlier in the show, or if you're going to end up missing this next hour where we're going to be talking with Kirby, go ahead and head over to aroundthehouseonline.com. Click on ATH podcast. That's where you'll find it. You'll be able to listen back to everything we're talking about today. And you can give us a call here in the studio with your home improvement questions, 971-233-8992.
You got it. Well, I wanted to talk here in this last segment of this hour. I wanted to really kind of dive in here about how do you build a stormwater system as a DIY project. So this is something that if you know how to operate a shovel, if you know how to glue ABS pipe together, and you know how to use a level, you're pretty much going to get this one.
It takes some engineering thoughts, yeah, and not that you really have to know, but just common sense and with engineering,
exactly.
I think.
Yeah. Exactly. So the first thing you should do, call before you dig.
Always.
That way you're not finding the phone line, the gas line, anything else. Just call that number in your area.
Double check.
Double check. Make sure you're good. Call before you dig. Give them a call. Give them some time with COVID out there. Give them a couple weeks. They might be next day, but just give them some time to get out there and make sure that way they can mark it out and you know where you can dig and where you should stay well away from. We want to keep that in mind no matter what we do. But really, first, you kind of need to figure out where that water is going to go after you figured out where you can dig and where you need to stay away from. So I want to get those downspouts coming down, downhill from the house, and 10 to 12 feet away. I like 12 feet. Because if you think about how water drains, it's like a cone. It starts out at a point,
mm-hmm,
and as it goes down, it gets wider and wider and wider. So you need to get that point of the cone away from the foundation enough that you don't have to worry about it. Now, many people will try to, especially if the house is built this way, they will hook maybe two of these together. So if you've got something on the side of the house, you can gang these things in together and bring them out. Now, what I've done, if you've got one of those older houses that are a little higher on the lot,
mm-hmm,
what I do is, and if you're high and maybe the street's down 4, 5, 6 feet, it's pretty easy. You can literally go in there and dig that out. You want to have some slope for that water to run away from the house. You know, you could even get his way, take a look and see what your building code is, but usually you could even get away with, you know, with that. I like to do about an inch every 10 feet on something like that. It doesn't take much. You just need to have some slope away from the house. I don't want to see any dips.
No divots.
Just keep it good. You can use ABS pipe, like a 3-inch ABS pipe. If you're moving more than one, you can go up to 4. But really, I like to use that hard ABS pipe because if you glue them together, it tends to keep tree roots and things from growing into it. You get that down. What I've done in the past is I get it closer to the street. Not up against it, so you're not making anybody mad,
mm-hmm,
but get it downhill from the house, and then you can drop it into what they call these little pop-up emitters. They look like companies like NDS. You get it in most home centers. When enough water gets behind it, the top pops up, and then it'll pop back down when there's no water pressure. And so you can let that go down there, pop up. It'll go out, water that part of the lawn, drain. I just don't want to see it where you're getting a lot of water running across the sidewalk and going out into the street. No sense getting the city mad. Make sure you can stay away from that, but really get that water away from the house. And if you've got landscaping areas, you can put a couple of those in. Maybe you can water some stuff when those rains hit. But get that away from the house. And now if you've got the road, maybe like my house is, it's higher up front and lower in the back, you're going to do the opposite. You're going to bring it back in there, but be careful you drop that out. Be a good neighbor. Don't just drop it next to your neighbor's fence and flood your neighbor out. I made a big mistake with that when I was regrading my house that I was living up north of Seattle. It was really high up, and it was like 40 feet down to the bottom of the backyard.
Okay.
From like the front door. It was big. It was a canyon back there. So I regraded. It was a wire act to get the backhoe down there too. That was its own special deal that I was pushing my limits on that. But long story short, I regraded the backyard. Didn't need any permits, anything else. Well, I didn't know because I hadn't been there long enough. The top of that canyon, there was a little lake up there in somebody's property. We got heavy rains. It overflowed. And I could have 6 inches of running water, like a stream going through this area.
Yeah.
Had the yard in there, everything else, put some nice things. I did not realize that the city, when they put in the drainage in my neighbor's yard, which didn't see that they put that too high. So it was like 8 inches up. Didn't realize that I had accidentally redirected that with my landscaping. So water that came down there in a rushing fashion landed right up against the side of his garage. So he had water hitting 4 inches up the siding on that.
But that just sounds like a kind of like a no-win situation based on where you were living there. There's really no way to drain water to where everyone's
going to get that. And it was a flood. So I felt bad about it. And it's not like that I recut things and got it over there. There was just, somebody had placed some just raw rocks over there, and I cleaned them up because it was just a pile of rocks. And I'm like, why is this over here? Oops. Now I know why those were over there. So I ended up bringing in a little more dirt and creating a little bit more of a raised bed to help steer that. But those are things you need to be careful with. So really get that water going downhill. It's not hard to do this. And I know you can do it as a DIY project. You can always hire a foundation contractor to come in and do this stuff. They do it all the time. And then my tip is make sure you snake that out and clean it out about every 5 years. Have somebody go in there with a snake and clean it up, make sure and inspect it. Spray it out. You'll be good to go, and you'll get a lot of years out of it. You can also get complex and do dry wells and things like that, but many times you get so much water, especially in my area, you're going to fill up a dry well pretty quickly, and then you have things to go with that. So that's my thought on rainwater. With any other questions, reach out. Hit me up at aroundthehouseonline.com to contact us, and I'll help you with your situation. Kirby Wilbur, moving to Texas just as soon as Around the House returns. Hey, it's Eric G. from Around the House. Are you planning a decking or siding project this year? If you are, you've got to check out my friends at Millboard. Millboard is a completely different kind of composite decking and cladding that enhances outdoor spaces with enduring distinction. Hand-molded from the finest oak, it realistically mimics the natural grain and color of premium hardwood. If you're looking for something that doesn't look like plastic and instead real wood, check out Millboard.com. Make sure and check out that interview we did just a few weeks back. That's Millboard.com.